In 1963, Illinois Power had a contest, and they had two divisions. They had a home division, a house, Christmas lighting, the best Christmas lighting displays, etc., and the best block. Well, everybody on the street was very close. This was a new subdivision, okay, if you can imagine. So there were no trees. East of us was a cornfield, okay? There was no streets east of us. They all got together and very friendly, as it was the first house for many, many folks just starting out. And they said, let's do a block lighting. And they did, and they won the contest. Now, the big winnings at that time was, in 1963, it was $100. So they took that $100 and they purchased the old blow mold candles. And so they took these candles and they bought these candles for each home with the $100 with the prize money. And then Gene Stoner, whose wife still lives on the block, and Jim Harney, who lives next door to us, and my father, Chuck Halpin, they would go out and with the sledgehammer, the actual sledgehammer handle is about a meter long, about 3 feet long, and they would measure from the curb up forward to it, and then that's where they planted the first year that they won the prize money, that's where they planted the candle. So as you look down the street, the consistency was always the candles, which started the Candlestick Lane, and then the houses would do all their magic. Every home had its own tradition. So they invite their relatives or their friends, office workers or whatever, and they would have, my mom and dad would make oxtail soup, and my mom made her own bread, and this was part of our tradition, the helping tradition. And people come over from our church, St. Patrick's in Urbana, and friends and family, and the next door they'd do something else, and the next door they'd do something else. Now, I was a kid, so when you got a little bit older, and you could go from house to house with an empty glass, all right, there was a little bit of Christmas trick-or-treating, if you will, and you could get a cocktail from each house, and it was just good fun. It was warm, it was good fun. Our street back in 1963, just Grant Place, just 17 homes, had over 44 kids. So in the summer, you saw some serious kickball, serious baseball, and all that. So of those 44 kids, two were selected at Christmas, all right, to be torchbearers. So back then you had a long 2x2 stick, okay, it was probably again about 3 feet long, and you had a torch duct taped to the end of it, and they would start at the end of the street, the north end of the street, because the street has a bit of a pitch, you know, there's an angle going down. And one kid would be on one side, one kid would be on the other side, of course they'd have a marshal with them, because they've got a flare. So they would light these flares, in the early days, they would light these flares, and they would alternate. So they would wave the one in front of the house, and then that house would turn on, and that started the lighting ceremony over 45 years ago. Well, word got out because we had a lot of calls. When are the openings? When are you guys going to light up? What's going on? It just became a really big thing, and then it became a lighting ceremony. Over the years, we've had fire trucks, we've had celebrities, fireworks, and then things change from time to time, and there are things you're not allowed to do anymore, but it's all part of that lighting ceremony that kicks off the season for Candlestick Lane. It's all voluntary. If someone moves out of their house, they usually leave the candle.
If somebody buys a house in this neighborhood, you go over first, like, let me tell you the legend of Candlestick Lane and what you might want to do come holiday season.
Exactly, Jeff. You know, it's a situation where some people have purchased just to be on Candlestick Lane. We have a new neighbor just a couple of houses down, Josh and his wife. They were looking at several homes and chose this one to be on Candlestick Lane. So that's kind of neat. And then, yeah, we share with them, and if they'd like to participate, we help them. Not a lot of people have been on the roof. I've been on the roof for over 45 years. So, you know, not a lot of people go on the roof or know, you know, the wiring and how to participate. You know, in the early days, there wasn't the big box stores. There wasn't the big hardware stores. And in the summer, I'd be in the backyard with my dad as the other kids in the neighborhood helping their fathers and mothers. And we would make either large nativity sets or Santa Clauses and they got elaborate. Sometimes they got elaborate. My dad had a guardhouse and he had a Santa in the guardhouse and it rotated the Santa in the guardhouse. And it had on the back of the guardhouse a Merry Ho Ho from the Halpins with two guards on both sides. You know, with elaborate, with ribbons and this kind of thing. And this went on for many, many years before you would go out and buy different decorations.
Some are more bizarre now. It seems it's just kind of over the years changed is what people do. I mean, you probably don't have any limits on what you can have in your lawn.
No, no limits at all. It's all part of what they like, a religious a nativity set, go more with the traditional, the elves and Santa and the folly. There's a wonderful guy who lives across the street, a neat guy, and he plays Frosty for over 20 years. And that's Rich Barnett, and he hand makes different characters for his grandkids. So you might see a Garfield, whoever happens to be popular, a Mickey Mouse, that kind of thing. He'll have those in the front yard. What comes to mind is just more The creative nature that they repurpose maybe some vintage things, like some vintage blow mold or what they hand make based on a family members hand make for nativities or a Christian a theme. Yeah, it's all there. It's all out there.